Okay, so we are going to continue with our study in 1 Thessalonians. For those of you that maybe have missed a week or two, we are just working through the whole of the book of Thessalonians, which is one of the earlier letters that Paul wrote. The church in Thessalonica was a very young church. Paul had gone there from Philippi when he'd been arrested and he'd had to flee from there. He arrives in Thessalonica and does his usual thing of going to the synagogue and meeting people and talking about Jesus. And so there were people that were converted. But again, persecution and trials and troubles followed Paul there. And so he had to leave quickly. So he had really a matter of a very short time, probably about 3-4 weeks there, where he was able to establish a little, very young church. And almost immediately that little church experienced persecution and experienced trials there. And as Paul and Timothy and Silas went on to Berea, obviously their thoughts and their concerns were for this little church that had been established, and they hadn't heard any news. And Paul was so concerned about them that in the end he sends Timothy to the church because he wants to encourage them. And I wonder, because that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning, about friendship and encouragement, how often we think about encouraging someone. So if I asked you to, I'm not going to, just in case you all start thinking, but if I asked you to turn to someone near you this morning and in 30 seconds or less to give them some encouragement, would you know how to do that? I would hope that here, I think we are generally quite good at encouraging people, but not everybody finds that easy and understands what encouragement really is. I don't know how many of you like the Peanuts cartoons with Snoopy and Charlie Brown. And there's one Peanuts cartoon where Charles shows Snoopy, and he's, if you can imagine, a pond, and he's sliding along the frozen pond on his bare paws, and he was having a great time. You know those pictures where you see him like spinning around, and then as he's doing this, just sliding around on the pond, Lucy walked up and she slid onto the pond, but she had her skates on. And Snoopy's really pleased to see her, and he comes skidding up to her and does a bit of a twirl with a big smile, and he stops in front of her, and Lucy says to him, "That's not skating, that's sliding." And so Snoopy's just standing there while she goes on with her lecture, and she says, "You don't have any skates on. Skating is when you have skates on. You're not skating at all, you're just sliding." And then you see the picture, Snoopy very dejectedly walks off the pond and he says, "How could I have been so stupid? And I thought I was having fun." I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that at some point in our lives, we've all had that person that's really like taken the wind out of our sails when we've just been feeling so good about something, and then they come with that negative comment, or they sort of belittle maybe something that we've been really pleased about. So not everybody is able to encourage people. Not everybody seems to understand what it means to encourage someone. And I think in society and in our culture today, it seems that wherever we turn, we often hear discouraging words. You know, it drives me mad on the television when, particularly with politicians, when somebody puts forward a good idea and then everybody else piles in to tear that thing to shreds. And you think, why can't they take the good out of it and say, well, yes, we could go with it, or we can agree with you on that. But there's always that discouragement, isn't there? And there's a saying that it says, it takes a lot of knowledge and skill to build a house, but it doesn't take much skill to tear one down. And in the same way, it's easier to tear people down than it is to build them up. Our words can be very damaging, can't they, to people? But in this letter to the Thessalonians, we see Paul here being really encouraging to the Thessalonian church. So let's read chapter 3, because this is where we've got up to. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to follow, please do. If you've got it on your phones, that's all right. I trust that you're not texting people or playing something or looking at Facebook. I'm sure that you're looking at your Bibles. So Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we've been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless and holy, as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. So definition of the word encourage, it means to give support, to give confidence or hope to someone, or to impart courage. And what oxygen is to the body, encouragement is to the soul. So let's look a little bit more closely at this chapter and see the encouraging words that Paul gives to the Thessalonian church. This is a little bit paraphrased, but it's just sort of taking those points from there. The first thing that Paul says is, you may be struggling with trials, but don't give up. He'd heard from Timothy how the church was struggling, how people were speaking against them, how they were speaking against Paul. But he was saying to them, yes, it's bad. Things get bad, but don't give up. In verses 2 and 3, he wrote that he sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage their faith and to keep them from being shaken by the troubles that they were going through. That's what encouragement does. When we get alongside people that are struggling, we want to strengthen and encourage their faith. We want to help them not to be shaken by the things that they're going through. The Greek word for encourage is parakaleo. And that means to come alongside someone and speak to them. And it's the same word that Jesus used when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, when he was describing the work of the Holy Spirit, when he said, he's the comforter, he's the one that will come alongside. When I've gone, you won't be left alone. The Holy Spirit will come alongside. He will be the one that encourages you. He will be the one that teaches you. He will be the one that leads you on. The Holy Spirit is our encouragement. So Paul's saying to the church, look, when these times come, and they will come, don't be destroyed, don't be pulled down, don't allow them to take control of your lives. And he encourages them in the words that he says. And we have to say that there are some forms of Christian teaching that would have us believe that when we become a Christian, that's it. Everything's good. Everything's great. We're always victorious. We are always victorious. But we're only victorious because we're in a battle. or we're facing troubles. Life is not always lived up there. We all face those times of difficulty. We all face those times when maybe we're facing sickness, or we're facing loss, we're facing bereavement, or circumstances in our lives are such that life becomes very challenging. We all have those, whether we're Christians or not. But we can encourage each other, and we don't need to be destroyed by them, because in all of that we know that God is with us, that he's standing right next to us, that he's supporting us. And as fellow Christians, you know, the Bible describes us as brothers and sisters. We stand with each other and we encourage each other in those times. God wants us to come alongside and encourage each other. My illustration for this was that, you know, I don't know if any of you have ever had a flat battery with your car. When I first had my when I first had my little Dayu, if it, you know, like on the car now, I open the door. If I've left the lights on, it makes a noise, and I know I've left the light. That one never did, and I think I'd only had it, probably only a couple of weeks, and gone somewhere, got out the car, left the lights on, came back. Battery was flat. I did that a couple of times, actually, till I realised that I really must check that my lights were switched off. But when that happens, what do we do? What do we do about it? We generally call Mark or call somebody. Can you come? Can you bring some jump leads with you? And so what we have to do is we have to connect the jump leads to the car that has got, the battery's got the charge in. We have to attach it to the battery that's got no charge in. And we have to start the car, and in doing that, that energy transfers from one battery to the other, and the car is able to start. It might be a bit sluggish at first, and you have to run it around a bit to recharge the battery. But usually we need someone else to come along and help us when that battery is flat. And that's what encouragement is. It's coming alongside, and it's lending. When, you know, when we come alongside and we encourage, we're giving someone encouragement, we're giving them our words, we're sharing our faith, we're sharing what we've learned about God, about how he's maybe changed our circumstances or situations. We use those emotional jump leads to give energy and strength to someone whose battery is dead. I don't know if any of you remember, I loved it when I saw this. I just thought what an amazing example it was. You know, the Brownlee brothers that do the triathlon. Do you all remember that time when there was Johnny Brownlee they said he's going to win this race, and you see him getting to that last bit, and suddenly he collapses to the floor. He's lost all his energy, and then along comes Alistair, his brother, who could have left him there and finished and won, because of course Alistair is the one generally that wins, but he stopped. And he lifts up his brother and he practically pushes him over that finishing line. He allows his brother to go in ahead of him. And everybody was saying, oh, what an amazing, you know, sacrificial thing that he did to win. And, you know, how encouraging, he lifted his brother up. And when they spoke to him afterwards and said, what did you say to him when he picked him up? And actually what he said to him wasn't, and he said, you stupid person. Why did you go off too fast? And he sort of lugs his brother up and he gets into the... Sometimes when we encourage people, we can't always be nice in that encouragement. Sometimes encouraging someone is actually speaking to someone and saying, what are you doing? You know, why are you doing this? Maybe you need to rest, or maybe you're going down this path. This is why. So encouragement can be more than just patting someone on the back and giving someone a hug. Sometimes encouraging someone is speaking positively to them. Excuse me. And we know that Paul, in his encouraging, not just of the Thessalonian church, but others, sometimes had to speak quite directly to them, those words that would just give them that spur, that would give them that jump to their dead batteries, that would make them be able to carry on with what God had called them to. So in verse 5, Paul explains why he sent Timothy to them. He was concerned. Let's just have a little look at that. This is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. Because we have to remember that Satan wants to stop us. He has not got our best interests at heart. He does not want us to do well. His object is to destroy us and to prevent any relationship that we might have with Jesus. And so Paul wanted to check that the Thessalonian church hadn't been destroyed or led astray by false teaching or anything like that. Can I just say, though, that not all trials are down to Satan. Not all the situations that we find ourselves in can be nailed to his door. I think sometimes we give him more credit and more power than actually he has over us. Sometimes we have difficulties and difficult situations because of our choices and our decisions. And sometimes we have to be prepared to face that and recognise that and acknowledge that. And in those times, just asking God to forgive us. But there are those times when Satan can take circumstances and situations and he can turn them round. And sometimes we look at things that happen and we say we can see his fingerprints all over it. But at those times, again, we have to remember that we are not defeated, that we can be victorious. And when we see people struggling, we need to get alongside and pray with people and support people and encourage people. And maybe you're going through a difficult time right now. Maybe you've not even told anybody. But maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're getting tired. During some of the most difficult times of World War II, Winston Churchill would come out with some really good phrases, wouldn't he, to encourage the nation. And one of the things that he said was this: never give in. Never. Never, never, in nothing great or small, large or petty, never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Don't give in, don't be overwhelmed. Here are some more words that are given by someone more important than Churchill, and that's Jesus. And in John 16:33, he says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's take heart. Are we willing to encourage someone? Will you ask the Holy Spirit to bring someone to mind? Maybe someone who's struggling right now. Will you make a commitment to come alongside them? Maybe put a hand on their shoulder or send them a text, write a letter or write an email, and just encourage them to hang in there because things will change. Second thing that Paul says to the church is, you may feel isolated, but I'm thankful for you. So one of the best ways that we can encourage someone is to tell them that you're thankful for them. Isn't it lovely when someone comes up to you and says, I really appreciate when you did that, or I really appreciated you thinking about me, or whatever. Or thank you. Thank you, Kirk, that you've led worship this morning. That's really encouraged me and blessed me. Tell you, when somebody does that, when somebody says that, it lifts your spirits, doesn't it? It makes you think, oh, well, it was worth sweating over it, that, you know, last night when I got all the music spread out in front of me and I'm like, which one shall I pick? We need to be able to say thank you to people, to encourage people in that way. Paul does this in verse 9, doesn't he? He says, how we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Can you imagine the Thessalonian church when they received this letter from Paul? And he's saying, you know, we saw it in chapter 1, didn't we? Oh, I was worried. I didn't know what was happening. And then I heard these reports about what you were doing. And it's really blessed me and it's lifted me. And that the church, that little church, are thinking, what? We've blessed Paul. We've encouraged Paul. We've lifted his spirits. Because he said to them, thank you. Thank you for what you've done, for hanging on in there. So we need to be thankful. Sometimes people feel alone and unappreciated, and you can encourage them by thanking them, like Rowley. You know, if one of you's in the co-op tomorrow and you see Rowley in there, go up and say, thank you, Rowley. Thank you for being here, for serving us with a smile. Or it might not be Rowley. You might be Sainsbury's or Morrison's, and you might see someone there and you might want to give them a smile and say, thank you for serving me today, and, you know, for packing my bag or whatever. It means such a lot to people when we notice what they're doing and we thank them. So think about how we can do that. We can thank people with cards, small gifts, maybe actions, maybe at home if somebody's cooked the dinner, do the washing up, or do some small jobs, or just give someone a hug or a compliment. It's not hard, is it? So again, if we're asking the Holy Spirit to show us who we can encourage, can we ask the Holy Spirit to bring someone to mind who we need to say thank you to? Or even to say thank you to someone, you know, look, I'm just really thankful that you're in my life. They may not necessarily have done anything, but they may have been your friend. So let's think about how we can do that. The third thing is that Paul says to them is, you may feel weak, but I'm praying for you. Not only did Paul tell them not to give up and that he was thankful for them, but he also encouraged them by telling them that he was praying for them. And in verse 10, he says, night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. So night and day he was praying for that church. He didn't forget about them. And he encouraged them by telling them that that was the case. You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of something, you can feel like you're really alone in it. But if you get that text when somebody says, do you know what, I've just been thinking about you and I've been praying for you. It just is such an encouragement, and it lifts our soul, doesn't it? It just speaks to us, you know, God, you've seen that and you've put that on somebody's heart to do that. And that's an encouragement to us, that if somebody does come to mind and you sort of out of the blue, pray for them. You don't know why God's put them on your mind, but pray for them, because you don't know what's going on in their lives. So do we pray for other people, or do we only concentrate on our own needs? Paul didn't just tell them that he was praying either. He told them what he was praying for them. In verses 11 to 13, we see that. And it can be a real source of encouragement if, as you pray for someone, you tell them what you're praying for them. You can even use this prayer here as a template if you don't know what to pray for someone. If we look in these verses 11 to 13, Paul's prayer is this. First thing is, I'm asking the Lord to fill you with his love. The mark of a true disciple isn't how big your Bible is, whether you wear a cross round your neck, how many times you come to church. The sign of a true disciple is that we show love. Jesus said he'd recognise his disciples by their love for each other and for other people. And so Paul here is praying for the Thessalonians that they would have love, but not just for each other, but for all people. So that meant for the people that were actually persecuting them and were giving them such a hard time as well. Paul was praying that they'd love their enemies as much as they'd love each other. The second thing that he prays is that he says, I'm asking the Lord to strengthen your heart. And in the struggles of life, we get weak and weary, don't we? Sometimes it's not a physical thing that we feel. It's an emotional thing. It's a mental tiredness. We're emotionally drained. And that's why it's important for us to pray that God would strengthen somebody's heart, particularly for the people that are hurting, that God would strengthen and heal their hearts. And the third thing that he says is, I'm asking the Lord to make you ready for his return. Paul and the other Christians believed that Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. They thought that they were in the last days. Well, Jesus hasn't returned yet, so if that was the last days, we're really in the last days, aren't we? I mean, we're told that nobody knows when Jesus is going to return, and that a day is as a thousand years is a day. So none of us can predict when he will come. But we all need to be ready, because that day will come. And we should live as though that day is coming maybe tomorrow. You know, if we thought that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, what would we do? Who would we want to speak to? What situations would we want to put right? What relationships would we want to restore? We should pray that we are made ready for that day when Jesus finally comes. So when we leave today, can we be committed to be an encourager? Can we be committed to being thankful and letting people know that we're thankful? And can we be willing to ask the Holy Spirit to show us who we need to be praying for? Let's pray. Oh Lord, I'm asking that this morning you would fill us all with your love. Lord, not just love for each other, but Lord, for those who maybe we find it harder to love, for those people who maybe make life difficult for us. Lord, would you help us, just as you have loved us, to help us to love other people. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your love. Lord, for each other, for each person that's here today, Lord, would you bind us together with that love? Lord, would you deepen our friendship? Would you deepen our commitment one to another? And Lord, we just pray that you would strengthen our hearts. And Lord, I would pray for anyone here this morning who is struggling, whether they've told people or not, but Lord, for those who maybe this morning are feeling a bit heart weary, maybe you're feeling drained emotionally or mentally or physically. Lord, we pray, would you just touch their hearts? Would you bring healing? And Lord, would you fill them again with your Spirit? Would you renew them? Would you just give them that fresh impartation of your Spirit this morning? Lord, we ask that you would bring healing to anyone that is hurting this morning, that you would comfort anyone who is grieving this morning. And Lord, you would bring anyone who's really unsure about something, that you would bring your reassurance to them. And Lord, we pray that you would help each one of us to be ready for that day when you return. Lord, that we will put things right where maybe we've done things wrong. Lord, that we would live our lives as though you are coming back tomorrow. Lord, that we would just have that sense of purpose and vision as we live out our lives for you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for each person that is here this morning, that you have placed here. Lord, you've drawn us together. You've put us together as your body. You've given us to each other. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us to build those relationships and that we would just encourage each other. Lord, we thank you. Amen.